This week's mailbag comes from Monique, and this is part two. I have an imaginary friend called Lisa. She's been real to me for a long time, but because my family hasn't met her, this is what they refer to her as, but she's been getting some notice as of late. On planning day recently, my husband came into my bedroom where I was in bed with my planning book and pens. He asked me who I was talking to. I said, "It's Lisa on a Zoom call." I showed him the live video and promptly said, "See, she does exist after all." He laughed and encouraged me to say goodnight to my friend and stop watching, as it was midnight my time and I was on Sunday hockey duty at 8 a.m. Lisa had told me how much she'd improved her sleep on planning day. So inspired by her, I dutifully stopped watching and went to sleep, which was really hard to do as it was my first time planning with Lisa. I do many things Lisa tells me because she's very conscious, aware, informed, educated, and wise. When there was tech issues uploading the planning video, she told me that she wasn't going to bother her team on Mother's Day. Sundays are a sacred no work day for me. So I cheered my friend's decision here. I thought again why her friendship has meant so much to me, because she speaks her truth, has integrity, and shares many similar values to me. Except I like to exercise and cook. But then she's a better entrepreneur than me. So I'm hoping going forward to become more of the productive operator that Lisa is in my own business when the golden windows open when he finishes school. Together, we can all learn from each other's strengths. On a side note, progress, not perfection. I had left the iron on at home when we went to play golf. I was going to iron hubby's uniforms while food was cooking. I'd managed to call my hubby, who was at home, and he turned the iron off for me. Well, the ironing never got done on Mother's Day. On my way to Monday school drop-off, I called him again and he said he had to iron the clean uniforms that were ready for him in the laundry. Thanks to Lisa, I value my time more and have stopped chasing people. My boundaries are stronger so that I can achieve those things I've committed to do while chatting and listening to Lisa on her podcast. As an adoptive mother, Mother's Day have always been an emotional day for me. Thanks to my friendship with Lisa, I chose family and fun on Mother's Day instead of chores. I cannot wait for more of my friends and family to meet Lisa.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. This is our last podcast on this teaching series, and after we really talked last week about your learning style, can you see how hard it is for teachers to teach all four of those learning styles while also maintaining classroom management and Zoom and all of the other things? Teachers are superheroes. So shout out to all the teachers. And also, you're a teacher. We're all teachers. Like, somebody is observing you. Somebody is watching you. Somebody is learning. It may be at your place of employment. It may be in your family. It may be in your community. It may be somebody who's following you on social media that you don't even know. And you don't realize that you are teaching. Teaching is at the basic of it. We are learners. Like Grayson, my grandson, you cannot stop a baby from learning. They're going to learn to roll and then crawl and then walk and then talk and then eat. And they're just exploring their environment and taking the next step and growing and developing. We are all lifelong learners, and we look to find people who are a little bit ahead of the trail on us and have the same interests that we do, and we like learning from them, and we follow them, and then we learn things. Sometimes they're good things, sometimes they're bad things, but you're always learning things from other people. In our office, Stephanie always says, "Jeezle, Pete." And I say it all the time now. I say it like 20 times a day at home. And Craig's like, "Where'd this word come from?" I'm like, "Stephanie, She says it at the office. Like, we are learning and observing and acquiring the habits of those that we are around all of the time. You are a lifelong learner, and also you are a teacher. So that is why you need to be careful about what you are teaching, because people are always observing and they are always learning. So today in the podcast, I want to talk about how can we set up our homes more like classrooms, because they are, which will help them to function better, and then also how we can become the teacher in our home. So there are two things that a classroom has that in Organize 365, we help you establish the first one, and I want to bring the second one to your attention because it will help as well. And the first one is an environment. Think about a kindergarten classroom. Do you know why a kindergarten classroom works? Because there is a place for everything to be put away. Like, every single kindergarten classroom you've ever been in, preschool room, daycare, there's a place for the books, and there's a place for the outside activities, and there's a quiet nook, and there's a math area, and there's a science thing, and there's a water table, and like, there are stations. So the environment is set up for that age student and all of the things they're going to need. Inside of that environment is order. Those kids walk in the morning and everything is where it is supposed to be. They walk out at the end of the day and everything is where it is supposed to be. And during the day, learning occurs. So in our homes, order comes from doing the productive home solution. That is when you realize, like, oh, I've acquired these things over the last 3 months, 3 years, 30 years. And they aren't put away, because where I would put them away are things that I no longer use, that I didn't take the time to declutter when I acquired the new thing that I actually do need. So everything I do need is out in the open. I know exactly where it is, but I don't have room to put it away because either our space is too small, but more likely the place where you would put it, things are there that you don't actually need. Your space may be too small. Your classroom may be too small for your family. That is a realistic possibility. And also, it's a limiting belief. So there's probably things that you don't need that you can get rid of so you could store correctly the things that you do need. I know that when I started this journey 10 years ago in 2012, I was like, I am going to clean and organize this house so that we can move to another one eventually that actually is the size we need for our family. And within a year, by the time I was done cleaning and organizing that house, I had empty cabinets, empty drawers, empty rooms. I was like, oh my gosh, we don't need to move. We just had not gone through and kept up with where our family was at the time, which was middle school kids. Still had sippy cups. I still was storing baby stuff. We weren't having more babies. Like, what do we still have that we're holding on from past classrooms, past life stages that we don't need in this current classroom? You don't walk into a kindergarten classroom and see little baby rattles and bottles and sippy cups. And you also don't see, you know, novels and books that you would read in middle school. You only see kindergarten activities. Now, obviously, your family makeup is going to have multiple ages in them. You may be having more children, or you foster children or whatever. I'm not saying get rid of all your baby supplies. I am saying that, is there a reason you're keeping them in your storage? Which, remember, is your store. Are you actually going to shop for these items in the future? And you'll shop from your own store versus a regular store? Or are they down there because you just haven't made any decisions yet? And you frankly forgot you've actually moved out of that stage. And you just were too busy to do anything about it. So going through the productive home solution three times, because it takes three times through to really get down to, okay, this is actually what we need. And you'll still keep a 20% buffer of things you're not really sure you need, but you might need. That's fine. We're not trying to get down to the exact amount of items that you need. We're trying to right size your house for the stage of life that you're in. If you just celebrated your 35th birthday, your 40th birthday, you are in a different stage than you were in your 20s. If your last child just went off to college, you are in a different stage than you were last year. If your youngest is going to attend full-time school next year for the first time, you are in a different stage of life. And when you go into these different stages of life, there needs to be a cleaning out and a reordering of your classroom, of your home, for you to live and enjoy this phase of your life. Our homes are not like really big storage areas. They are where we learn and play and do life together. And so they should have the same environment that you have in a kindergarten classroom or a high school classroom or a university classroom? Where are you in your life? And then how does your home environment reflect that? The best way to really do this is to figure out what done is going to look like. What is done going to look like for this stage of your life? So for me, done a couple of years ago looked like everything in my closet was for a professional working woman, that I could come into the office at any day, be called on to TV or do a speaking event, and I was ready to go. Like, that is what my desire was. That is what my closet looked like. When Abby had Grayson last year, I realized over the winter, I do not have play clothes. I don't. I'm even dressy on the weekends. Like, I love being dressy. I've always wanted to be a corporate woman, and now I am. So, like, I have all the dressy clothes. I'd finally gotten this whole wardrobe of all these dressy clothes. And the only clothes I had that weren't dressy were, like, my Organized 365 t-shirts that the whole team has, jeans, and my Organized 365 sweatshirts. That's it. That's all I had that was not, like, dressy. And Grayson spits up a lot. So at one point, I finally was like, I have to come home from work, get changed into clothes that he can be grubby on, because I want to be on the floor and playing with him every single day. I need to change my wardrobe. I now have a section of my wardrobe. It's just a bunch of Lands' End t-shirts. Thank you for the recommendation, Michelle. And my regular jeans. And I didn't even need more sweatshirts. So it was just t-shirts and jeans. But I realized that one or two t-shirts is not enough, because I only do laundry once a week. So I need like 5 to 8 t-shirts, long sleeve and short sleeve. And I now have that whole section, because I am in the grandma of a grandchild who lives in my house phase of life. And if you don't take the time to stop and think about, like, oh, our grandchild lives with us, I have a professional woman's wardrobe, these two don't match, I need to add more into my wardrobe for this. And then I changed my schedule so that at the end of my workday, I actually go in the bathroom 50% of the time, put on the Grayson clothes, so when I get home, I'm ready to play and I don't have to go upstairs even to change. So these are ways in which your classroom, your house, should change as your life changes. I didn't get rid of my corporate clothes, but I added clothes for Grayson. So when you think about your closet, your kitchen, your Sunday basket, you have learned through the Productive Home Solution or the Sunday Basket System, how to organize those spaces. And I want to take those three spaces in your classroom now that is part of your environment, and let's talk about how do we teach the skill of organizing to our family and friends. So let's take your closet. If you've done the Productive Home Solution, you've gone through three times, you probably have organized your closet for this phase of life. It's ready to go. Everything has a place, everything in there. If I went into your closet right now and I pulled out any outfit, would you put it on? If not, then there are still some clothes in there that you don't want to wear that you probably need to declutter. Now, if I pull out like a ball gown and I say we're going to a baseball game, that's not going to work. But I'm just saying, like, if I say, hey, I'm going to take you somewhere and I'm going to go in your closet, I'm going to pick out appropriate clothing for the event I want to take you to, and I hand you something out of your own closet, are you confident putting it on and you love it? Then your closet is done. How do you then do that in other people's closets that you are going to teach the skill of organizing? First, you have to have an example of what done looks like. So in your own personal family, your spouse, your kids can come in and see your closet and be like, oh, I like that. Can you help me do that in my closet? And we'll talk about that in a minute. Family and friends, like, when my kids were little, my good girlfriends, we were all over each other's houses. We were in each other's closets. We were organizing projects together. Like, you know, you have a friend where you guys are like, oh, what are you doing? Okay, this is what I'm doing. And you guys do this in the community app. Okay, this is how I organize this. Look at how I got this done. And you're like, okay. So you're in the community app and you're looking at somebody else's closet. You're like, oh, I'm going to go do that in mine. So that's another way that you can be teaching other people, is inside of our app, teaching each other that way. And then the third group of people that you may be a model to are your parents. So your parents and your grandparents, if they're still living, their home organization is of your benefit, because someday you're going to have to downsize that house or sell that house. And so all the organization we do now, the better, right? and your family members are going to live to be 100 more years than they are today. I'm not saying that anyone is going anywhere. I'm just saying that people move. And if you're going to move, it's easier to move when people are organized. So helping them organize their space, again, your space, is an example of what is possible. Let's talk about the kitchen. The kitchen is a communal space. You, or whoever is the primary kitchen person, has organized the kitchen. Greg is the primary kitchen person at our house. I am the kitchen organizer. I organize it, and then he maintains it. And this is what usually happens in most families. One person organizes the space, and then they explain to the family how they organized it so that it can be maintained by the family. And this works, I mean, 99% of the time. Family members really don't grumble very much about organization that happens in the kitchen. They just need to have an example. So if you have organized the environment, you've organized your kitchen, and you are concerned that your family will not maintain it, or they're not following the system, this is what happens in a classroom. On orientation day and the first day of school in kindergarten, you come and you sit on the rug. And I was a kindergarten teacher, and I would sit there and we introduce ourselves to each other. And then we tour the classroom and we talk about all the different areas. And then we play in one area and we learn all the rules of that area and how to clean up when we're done and what done looks like and what are our rules of our classroom. You just need to have an orientation of the kitchen for your family after you're done organizing it. So I have done this. Greg begrudgingly comes to the orientation. I'm like, look, I organized the kitchen. He's like, okay, yeah, it's good. I'm like, no, you have to see. And I open every cabinet. This is where the dishes are going to be. They stayed in the same place. This is the silverware drawer. See, I put the bigger things in the back. This is whatever. And he's like, yeah. He always wants to be done with orientation 5 seconds in. Orientation is only like 10 whole minutes, but you'd think it was 10 whole hours. He's like, I get it. I was like, no. Mixing bowls. Look, mixing bowls are down here. And I put these in the back because I prefer that we use these. I got rid of all of our Tupperware. We don't have any, Greg. We now have Pyrex and it's up in a different cabinet. See, it's going to be up in this different cabinet. Okay, fine. I got it. Okay. So I'm not saying that the family's like, yay, orientation. Can't wait for you to tell us how you reorganized the space that we're pretty sure you just organized again 3 months ago. You know who will be really interested in your reorganization orientation? Your friends. Oh my gosh, my girlfriends. We would go over to each other's house and we would have play dates. We'd be like, what'd you organize? And they'd show every drawer and every cabinet. And I'd be like, oh, that's so great. And then I'd go home and organize mine. Hey, this is a project I did. I remember when I was in my 20s, every time my mom came to visit, I'd be like, okay, here's everything I've done since the last time you were here. And I traipse her all over the house and around the yard. I planted this bulb and I reorganized this drawer. And I'd show her every single thing I had done that was different from the last time she had been here. And I loved it. Like, I loved giving the tour of all the work I had done since the last time I saw my mom. You want credit for the work that you've done, but also you want people to put things back correctly. I have also found that our kitchen organization system works perfectly because while I do not buy the food, I do not cook the food, I occasionally eat the food, I am the person who does the dishes and empties the dishwasher. So even though I don't do any of the food purchasing or cooking, our kitchen is perfectly maintained because I'm the one that washes the dishes. And when they come out of the dishwasher, I know where they go. And so when Greg is cooking, he'll look until he finds the thing that he wants. And of all the things that we store in our kitchen, I think Greg only uses maybe 30% of the cabinets and drawers. And the other cabinets and drawers are either storage related or holiday items are in there, or, you know, it's things Abby uses for Grayson. So they're really only about 30% of the cabinets and drawers that he uses on a regular basis. And then if he's going to make something unusual, he usually says, hey, where do we keep this? And I just tell him where we keep this. So your family doesn't have to like memorize the layout of the kitchen and be able to give tours on their own. They just need to know where their favorite things are and then put their own favorite things back where you have them going. Or it's easiest for me to just do the dishes in the dishwasher and maintain the kitchen, and then the family uses the kitchen. And then the third area about giving a picture of what done looks like and how you would lead someone in learning this skill would be the Sunday basket. And the Sunday basket is only yours. I don't know if I've mentioned this lately, but no one is supposed to touch your Sunday basket. It's like, you know, there's a little fence around it, and it's your personal private area. You could drop your ideas in there. You could drop to-dos in there. Family members can add things like little love notes, chocolate for you, whatever they want. But they don't do the Sunday basket. Greg has his own Sunday basket. Abby has her own pocket that's like a Sunday basket. Nobody goes in my Sunday basket. That's like my purse. It's like my private area. So how do you teach the Sunday basket if you don't really have the family in your Sunday basket in your planning time? There are a couple of ways you can do this. Number one, we're going to go back to parents and grandparents, and I know a lot of you are doing this. Get them their own Sunday basket. Teach them how to go through their Sunday basket. Again, it benefits you to know all the things that are in their brain and that they have to do every week and where all their important actionable papers are. So get your parents, grandparents, their own Sunday basket. Get your spouse at least some slosh pockets, but also their own Sunday basket. This is going to be a great way to start to equitably divide the amount of housework that is in your home. So get them their own Sunday baskets. They will have certain slosh pockets. You will have certain slosh pockets. And once your kids are like, I don't know, old enough that they like mail, which is like second grade, get them their own Sunday basket. Like, why not? And if you don't want to go all the way to a Sunday basket level, we have kids clips. We have a little boy, a little girl. You color them in however you want, and they stick on the refrigerator. And then any important papers, they could put them on their clip, and they put them on their refrigerator. When you go through your Sunday basket, they go through their little clip that is on the refrigerator. So those are some ways that people can go through the Sunday basket. And for school-age kids, their Sunday basket is their school backpack. So for adults, you have a Sunday basket. Kids have a school backpack. And when you go through your Sunday basket, your kids completely empty out their backpack of the science experiments they're keeping in there, the paper they forgot to give you, which is convenient because you're doing your Sunday basket time, notes that they forgot, homework that they need to catch up on, school, you know, practice uniforms that they need to replenish in their practice bags, all of those things, all of that general get ready for the week for a student happens in a backpack in their athletic bags. For an adult, happens in the Sunday basket. So that is setting up the classroom. Everything needs to have a place. And until your classroom, your house, is organized, it's really hard to teach the skill of organizing. Like if you want your family to get on board and you want your family to take certain areas of the house and maintain the organization and to learn what you're learning from me about how to organize a space, it's really hard to do that in an unorganized space. All that's coming to my mind is a child's bedroom. Like you may not have children, but you were a child one day. How do you learn how to organize a bedroom when your bedroom has not been organized? We send kids all the time. I mean, my mom sent me and we do this. Go clean and organize your bedroom and then we'll go to blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, what does clean and organized look like? Maybe they know what it looks like when you do it and it is clean and organized, but maybe not. And then do they have the actual skills to do that? It's like a 12-step process. It's not just cleaning up the floor. I mean, that's not what a clean and organized space looks like. The kids program is so detailed in how to actually teach the skill of organizing. And I know I've told before that Joey just got rid of everything. That way he didn't have to do cleaning and organizing very much. And Abby has an eclectic personality. Plus we usually had live pets in her room. So it took her a long time to learn the skill of organizing, but they both learned it. And they learned it in this way. They learned it by doing it together. So I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute. But secondly, now we've talked about the environment. The second thing that schools have that we need to add to this classroom setting is a schedule. They have a schedule. And here's what happens when you go to school. You arrive, you're given a certain amount of time to get settled in the classroom, put away your coat and your backpack, get out whatever you need for your first lesson, sharpen your pencil, go to the bathroom. Now you are ready. We need time when we are learning the skill of organizing to get ready. I'm going to use kids as an example, but you can have it be a friend. You can have it be your parents. When you're ready to teach the skill of organizing, the student needs to be ready. They need to be able to transition to whatever you're doing. For Joey, that means he needs to have like one of these really highly caffeinated, gross tasting things. What are they? Monsters or whatever. Like he's like, all right, I got my monster. We're ready to go. Like he's got to mentally get in the game that we are going to do some learning here. Second, you need to have a lesson plan. Like to just arbitrarily say, we're organizing this space now, but to not really have a lesson plan for yourself or for your students that are learning, it's really difficult for you and for them. And teachers who are really skilled at teaching something are good at giving you just the right amount of work. Not too little work that you're bored, and not so much work that you're overwhelmed, but just the right amount of work for you. So think back to when, you know, if you're thinking about organizing your entire house, like too much work, right? But if you're thinking of organizing a silverware drawer and you've been listening to me for 6 years, you're like, too easy. Like that's, I can't get excited about organizing my silverware drawer. Every drawer in my kitchen today, that I can get excited about. You need a little bit bigger of a project once you've started learning the skill. So you need to gauge your student on what level of organizing they're already at and what would feel like a good project finished for them. So when you're talking to your parent, you're talking to your friend, you're talking to your child, you're talking to your spouse, what is a manageable amount of organizing for them? What is their organizing threshold? And you need to remember this. When you were in school, and I'll take math because that's what I taught in middle school. When I would teach a math lesson, 30 minutes long, we would get to the end of the 30 minutes. If the students in the classroom did not absorb the lesson that I was teaching, I did not say we're going to do this until we're done and have a 3-hour math lesson. Everyone went home, they slept, their brain was able to assimilate and organize all the information we had already learned. I thought about a different way of approaching it. We came back to math class the next day for 30 minutes, and I retaught the lesson in another way after everyone had had a good night's sleep, and they caught it and we moved on. So the goal of organizing when you're teaching the skill of organizing is not to get to done. The goal is to learn the skill. And this is very different because when we are learning the skill ourselves and you're listening to me on the podcast, you're receiving grace and you're like, okay, I don't have to do it all at once and I don't have to do it all now and I can chunk it and, oh, I hadn't thought of it that way. Okay, I'll go back and I will apply that to the space that I'm organizing. But then when we turn around to our spouse, our kids, our parents, our friend, we're like, here's what done looks like. Get this done today. And we forget how much of our actual learning was in the listening and the discussing and the watching process before we did any of the doing. And our very first attempts at organizing failed miserably. And then we're like, let me watch that again. Let me do it with somebody. Let's ask somebody in the app. So teaching small, tiny chunks of organizing to your family and friends is where they too are going to see immediate success. I start you with the silverware drawer. So if you're going to teach anybody how to organize their clothes, start with the sock drawer. Like, let's get all the socks out. How many have holes? How many aren't matched? Let's get all of your socks matched. Put away, you're done. Congratulations. They'll be like, I thought we were gonna organize my clothes. Yeah, we're done, socks are done. We'll do t-shirts tomorrow. Like, how much more doable and empowering, and like then they're like, oh, my socks are organized. And if they really want to go on, you can say, well, do you want to do t-shirts now? Yeah, I want to do t-shirts now. Now you're teaching from a place of your student asking for more versus you saying, we're doing the entire dresser today, now get ready to go, which is how I used to do it. That's how I know that is. And then the last part of your school day is that there is an end. There is a done time. So you get to school, you have an arrival, you get all your school supplies ready, you have your lessons for the day. The teacher is responsible for the quantity and quality of the lessons. You are just responsible as a student to show up ready to learn. And then at the end of the day, there is an end of a school day. The school day doesn't go on indefinitely until you understand algebra. You leave and you come back the next day or the next week and you learn a little bit more. So giving everyone grace to learn the skill, just like you received grace to learn the skill, is huge. And once you're able to chunk your learning for your family, friends, and community members, they will start saying, hey, you know how we did that with my dresser? I was wondering, can you help me organize my part of my car or my briefcase or my backpack or my whatever? Like, does Lisa have anything for this? And you could say, oh yeah, okay, so this is how we organize that. and then you become the teacher that they want to learn from. When in doubt, chunk your lessons smaller. When in doubt, chunk your lessons smaller. It's better to just organize all the pens in your junk drawer and have your student want to organize the rest of the drawer than to say, we're organizing all the drawers in the kitchen, so get ready. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's just not the same. So I want to touch on a couple of things about being a teacher and for you to think about the students that you want to teach. It could be your spouse. It could be your kids. It could be your parents. It could be your friend. It could be the people in your company. Who are the people that are looking to you already? They're already watching you. And also, it would be in your best interest if they were more organized, because then they'll have more time to do what they're uniquely created to do. So number one, figure out what kind of a learner they are. Last week on the podcast, we talked about being an audio learner, a kinesthetic learner, a visual learner, and a reading and writing learner. If you can figure out what kind of a learner they are, then re-listen to last week's podcast about which portions of the organized 365 programs will speak to them the most, and then present the information in that way. Like I said, I think everyone is kinesthetic learners. I think everyone likes to learn by doing with someone. I just think it's not very easy usually in regular classrooms to teach that way. But I do think that most people learn best by actually having someone do the skill with them. If they're an auditory listener and they will listen to a podcast episode, share a specific podcast episode with them. If they are a visual learner and they learn best through visual, see if there is a printable or a checklist or something that you can print out from the Organized 365 dashboard that will work. If they're a reading and writing person, print out the show notes for the podcast you would have wanted them to listen to. When they get the Sunday basket, give them the playbook that comes with it and actually have them read it and highlight it and go over the lessons that way. Teach them through that book versus through the videos or in any other way. Secondly, after you know what their learning style is, I'm going to repeat this again, give them time to process and understand before you expect a result. We forget how long it took us to learn the skill of organizing, and we tend to jump to, oh my gosh, it would be so great if I could get their spaces organized, and I, in my head, know what done looks like, so all I really need is their permission and their decisions on whether we keep things or don't. And that will get a space organized. It definitely will. If you act like a professional organizer and just assist your family members or your friends in getting a space organized, it will work. It will not last as long because they didn't learn the skill of organizing. They just got the end result. So if you truly want to teach the skill, you're there more as a coach than a doer. And you're walking them through the steps that you learned and thinking about how they best learn, and then supplement their learning with these different things. The process of teaching is this. First, you teach the concept, or you share the concept, or you discuss the concept. Second, you practice whatever was shared. So like, you would share. In your closet, the goal is, if I was going to take you to an event, and I went in your closet, and I grabbed any outfit out and told you to put it on, you'd be like, great, I'm ready to go. If there are things in your closet that you don't want me to hand you to put on, no matter where we're going, then you probably don't need those. Oh, okay. Then we need to get rid of almost everything in my closet. Yeah, I know. So then they're like, okay, I get it. I understand what we're doing. So then you practice it and you say, okay, that's your favorite pair of jeans. We have 14 pairs of jeans in here. How many of them fit? So when we got our bathroom done this spring, Greg actually tried on all the jeans and he found like 4 more pairs that fit. He was so excited. And then we donated the rest. So sometimes it's just like, okay, so you like to wear jeans. You wear jeans almost every day. All these pairs are in here. Which ones do you like? You actually have to just try them all on. The third step is do it with me. So often in learning, you like to do it with someone. You as an organized 365 person, is you're doing it with us in the community, or you're doing the co-working time for the Friday workbox or the Sunday basket, or you're coming to Embrace and you're coming to Planning Day and we're doing it together. Like, you're doing it. I'm not sitting there with you, but we're doing it together and you like doing it together. It holds you accountable, keeps your energy up, keeps you focused, helps moving you through. So same with your family and friends. Like, if you have the time to do it with them the first couple of times, it's going to go so much faster, especially with kids. Like, if your kids have the kids program and they watch the video, so they're being taught, then when they go to implement that, it's so much easier if you do it with them. If you are the heavy lifter and they get to do the mental part and really think about it, eventually they'll be able to do all the parts, but it's just more fun to do it with someone. And then the last step of learning is you do it yourself. I said in my very beginning of teaching, it was my third year of teaching, it was when I was finally a classroom teacher. I had first grade students, and there were many students in my class that we already knew from the beginning were disadvantaged and were going to struggle. And our school district at the time did fail first graders, and they did as many accommodations as they could. This was a long time ago. And I remember standing up, I was like 20-something, to the parents on parent night, and I said this: your student cannot fail to learn what they need in first grade. Only I, as the teacher, can fail your students. It is my job to come up with as many ways as possible to teach these first grade concepts and to have your student learn them. Students cannot fail to learn. Only teachers can fail to teach. I mean, I said that 25 years ago, and I believe that in my core. You can learn anything, anything. Maybe I can't learn spelling, but that's another story. You can learn anything. Like, things are learnable. Organization is a learnable skill. 87% of you agree organization is a learnable skill. And yet, when those same people were asked if they were personally organized, it was like 14%. Family organized was like 15%. Storage organized was like 13%. And paper organizing was the highest one at 18%. There's a general, I don't remember. I could find the actual ones. Oh, I'll just find the actual ones. You know me, I'm big picture, details, schmeetails. Here they are. Oh, it's pretty good. 15% said they were personally organized, 14% family space, 13% storage organized, and 18% paper organized. So if 87% of people believe organization is a learnable skill, and the highest grade you give yourself is less than 1 out of 5, hit any of those marks, how sad is that? You know it's learnable, but you just haven't learned it? Like, no, that's my fault. That's the professional organizer's fault. That's the organization industry's fault. If it's a learnable skill, we must not be teaching it right, right? That's why we're not doing Swiss cheese organizing anymore. That's why we're breaking it, instead of organizing your whole house, we're breaking it in these four sections. Organization is a learnable skill. You cannot fail to learn it. Only I can fail to teach it. So then if you've learned organization and now you have family members, they also are capable of learning organization. If they have the desire to learn it and we can figure out what their learning style is, and you have the patience and grace to teach it over a long period of time, it can take 3 years. It's okay. It's a lifelong skill. It's worth the time and investment. Versus not learning it. The onus is on you now. And all that's left, the only thing that is left, is that the person who is going to learn the skill has to have a spark that is ignited to want to learn the skill. You can't create desire in people, but once they have the desire to learn whatever it is that you teach, then game on. Like, you get to be as creative and patient, and you will learn organization at such a deeper level when you teach other people how to be organized. So finally, you need to give them the tools, because the information and the spark and the patience and the doing it with you, that will really get pretty far with your family and friends. But eventually, you need to give them the permission and the opportunity to get their own supplies, their own Sunday basket, and in the Sunday basket course, get in the kids programs so that they're in that dashboard, so that they're in those areas. Give your kids the launch binder when they leave so that they take all of their things with them in an organized way, because the organizational systems that keep things organized makes it easier to maintain. And you may have family and friends who are ready to join the Productive Home Solution. They're like, okay, I've been watching you. I see the difference. What is the difference? You're like, oh, it's this Productive Home Solution. It's not going to be done overnight, but over a course of time, you will get your home organized like mine. And this is how you get started. great gift for your family members to go together on for your parents for the holidays. Summer is a great time to get started in the Productive Home Solution. It's on demand. You guys can buy it at any time. Get started at any time. If you have a family member that's like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I've got to get my life in order. I've got to get this house in order. You go, great. Open up your computer. We'll get started right now. You'll have the planner within a week, and we can literally get started right now. What area do you want to tackle today? And just get it immediately. You'll have access to the dashboard and get going. Capitalize on that energy. If you are home this summer and you're like, you know what? I just want to plow through this thing. I just want to get going. I invite you to join us. All right. Well, this has been really, really fun. Really going back to my teaching roots, interviewing so many teachers on the Wednesday podcast episodes, launching the Education Friday Workbox, getting ready for teacher camp, which is coming in July. I just have really enjoyed thinking about organizing our home from a teaching lens, from the classroom that I used to run and the different differentiation that I did with students, and remembering that all of the different lessons and modalities that I have in the Organize 365 products are intentional. They're very intentional, knowing that you learn differently than I do. And like I said, only a teacher can fail to teach. Students cannot fail to learn. So I am always pivoting and iterating and changing and improving and growing the processes and systems at Organize 365 so that learning can become faster and easier for everyone who is currently in the programs and those that come next. You can learn more about all of the Organize 365 products and courses on our Organize 365 website. Just go to programs, and under there, you can learn about the Sunday basket, the Friday workbox, the Productive Home Solution, planning days, all of those things. And of course, email customer service. Customer service is everybody who works in the app also works in customer service. So when you email customer service, hey, I listened to Lisa's podcast and she mentioned whatever it is I mentioned. Can you help me with how would I best get started? Or I already have these products. How would I best take my learning forward? Or I really want to get my parents on board on this. How can I gift them the Productive Home Solution? How can I gift them the Sunday basket? What is the process of getting them a gift certificate, getting them started? They live in this city. I live in that city. Customer service would love to help you troubleshoot anything that you want or create a more customized plan for you.